Karen Carmichael, and I'm here with my friend Walt Driggers. Walt is the executive director of Friends of Albert Whitted. Walt, how are you today?
I'm very good. Thanks for asking, Karen.
What makes the airport such an important and unique part of the community?
Well, it's been part of the community since the early 1900s. It was created as they did the dredging of the community, the harbors in the community, and threw it up on the sandbar. And for Bayboro Harbor and also the South Marina, and that's how that land started. Of course, Tony Janus started in 1914 and did his first trip. And Albert Whitted Airport wasn't an airport at that time, but it was right in that area that he flew from St. Petersburg to Tampa, and that was the first commercial flight in the world. So we've got aviation history. We're steeped in aviation history for Albert Whitted Airport. And it came along, they actually made it into an airport. There were people taking off in 1917 on a shell runway they had made, and then the city decided they'd make it a real airport in 1928, and it opened in 1929. So we're coming up on our 100th anniversary.
Wow.
And all during the time, it has supplied mobility and a lot of different components for the community. And I think the best way to tell you what it does is I'm going to read from a letter from Chris Steinacher, who is the CEO of the St. Petersburg Area Chamber of Commerce, because he states this very clearly. It says, Albert Whitted Airport is not only a vital piece of our city's infrastructure, but also an essential economic driver that contributes significantly to the prosperity of our community. Albert Whitted Airport provides critical services to the region, including general aviation, emergency response, medical air transport. The airport serves as a hub for small businesses, flight schools, and tourism-related activities, all of which generate substantial economic activity. Following the recent hurricanes, the airport has undoubtedly been instrumental in facilitating emergency services and supplies, further underscoring the value to the community and to the city. With that said, when the first hurricane came, I think that was Helene, I was out there on the airport at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and the airport was essentially closed. But there were three helicopters flying. One was the Johns Hopkins helicopter for all children's. And then there was the Coast Guard, and they made several landings there. I'm not sure what the Coast Guard was doing. But the other helicopters were obviously military helicopters, so I chased those down. And they were Chinook helicopters bringing in search and rescue teams, including their dogs. And they went, load them on school buses, and took them out to the beaches where the people who didn't evacuate and their buildings got destroyed. And so they went out looking, and this is at 2 o'clock the day after the hurricane.
Wow.
When I-75, you know, the Howard Franklin Bridge was closed because it had debris on it. The Skyway was closed. It had debris, and the winds were too high. So you can't get downtown if it weren't for Albert Whitted Airport. So it provides great services for our community. Each one must have had 15 or 20 teams, including their dogs.
When the president came to town, I watched the helicopters land at Albert Whitted.
Well, and when the president came, that was after the next hurricane.
Right.
And so they flew Air Force One into MacDill. And rather than spend an hour trying to get across Howard Franklin Bridge and out to the beaches, it was easy to secure Albert Whitted Airport, a small airport. Mm-hmm. And so it landed right there. They jumped into the vehicles they had brought in for him, took him straight to the beach where he could see the damage and make sure that we got federal assistance to take care of that.
How did the Friends of Albert Whitted get started? Because you're the executive director there.
We started in, there was an organization, there still is an organization called the Airport Advisory Committee that was started back in 1986, 1988, somewhere in that time. And the mayor at that time asked that that committee be started from individuals using the airport so they could be the liaison between the airport and the city, so the city council and the city administration could understand how that asset needed to be treated and what it needed and what it was providing. In September of 22, we decided that the community doesn't know all the value of the airport to the community. So we created Friends of Albert Woodard Airport, made a 501c3, a charitable nonprofit organization, to educate the community about the value of the airport. And we also wanted to follow the preservation. And it was preservation of the history, the preservation of the value, and the preservation of the airport for the future as eVTOL and advanced air mobility comes into place.
When did you decide to offer scholarships for kids that are interested in becoming pilots?
Well, that's interesting. That was one of our first endeavors. As we went, before we created Friends Albert Woodard Airport, through the committee, we went and interviewed every one of the city council members. And one of the city council members were asking us what was going on at the airport to help the underrepresented in aviation and on the south side of St. Petersburg, what's going on? And so we went back, and after we talked to all of them, we sat down and said, some of these questions, what can we do? And it became obvious that we thought one of the best things to do is create a scholarship. And so the first scholarship was, we created Friends Albert Woodard September 22, and April 1st of 23, we did our first scholarship, and it went to 19 students. And we did five what we call starter scholarships, mm-hmm. where they get the software to do the technical part. If they go through the software, they can take the written FAA written test. And then we gave them $1,000 worth of flying. And that way, if they can see if they like it or not. Now, most pilots got started, like I got started. My father's friend took me up in an airplane, and he gave me a gift certificate for 1 hour of flying when I was 17 years old. Most pilots get started from a friend or a relative. But we understand there's a lot of people out there who don't have friends or relatives who would still be good at this. And so we started the starter scholarships to get those people involved and expose them to it. There were also people involved that it's expensive, and we wanted to be able to help them through and get their license. And again, we were really trying to help the underrepresented in aviation. That's the women and minorities. And so we gave away 14 $5,000 scholarships the first time.
Wow.
So we gave away $75,000. And that came from three people. And so for the next scholarship, the next round, we had a problem. We found out that of the 14 that we had given scholarships to, more than half of them had gotten their license. But we weren't trying to create private pilots. We were giving them a pathway to a high-paying professional career. And so to get their commercial and instrument rating so they could wanted to be a commercial pilot, we created $10,000 scholarships because those ratings are much more expensive. And so we gave away the second time, we gave away six starter scholarships, 19 intermediate $5,000 scholarships, and eight $10,000 scholarships. And of the eight $10,000 scholarships, six of them were to friends from scholarship recipients from the first round.
Wow.
So we gave away $166,000.
Holy cow. That's a lot of money.
It is.
And that's a lot of growth in just two cycles, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so now what we're trying to do this year, our goal is to raise $175,000. Mm-hmm. But we don't necessarily want to do more than 30, 25 or 30, but we'd like to make them larger so it'd be more impactful for them. A commercial rating is about $18,000. An instrument rating is about $18,000. So you have $36,000, and we're giving them $10,000 to it. We'd like to give more. And so that's why we've increased our goal for this year.
So if you pass those two licensings, then you're considered a commercial pilot?
You're a commercial pilot. Now you can start flying charter, and there's a lot of things you can do. Most of the people on their career path need to build hours to get on with the airlines or the commuter airlines or the mm-hmm. corporate pilots or net jets or something like that. So most of them will then go get their certified flight instructor rating, and that allows them to teach other people, allow them to achieve their goals and also build the hours so they can stay on their journey to a professional pilot.
So that's a nice career ladder for someone.
It absolutely is. And I'd like to share some of the emails that I get back, and you can understand how we feel about it and how it's affecting lives.
We love success stories.
Yeah. So this one was, and it's currently on our website as a blog. It's from Catherine Bremer. And I won't read the whole thing that she wrote, but she says, I moved to St. Petersburg in 2022. It was with the sole purpose of pursuing a career in aviation. While working in sales, one of my clients mentioned a scholarship she saw on Instagram. I knew aviation was meant to be part of my life, so I applied. I was absolutely shocked and thrilled to learn that I had been selected. She says, I absolutely love the Albert Witted community. It's all part of what makes this community irreplaceable. And that's touching. And what people don't realize is people are moving here for that airport. And we have multiple business people who moved here because that airport that come to the community. There's very few in the country that are in the city and on the waterfront. That's in our documentary where we interviewed the past five living mayors, and they talk about that as a mayor, how important and critical it is and what a bonus it is for St. Petersburg.
How does somebody qualify for a scholarship?
Well, we have different criteria for the three different parts. There's between 16 to 24-year-olds. Because it's 16, you have to be 16 to solo, 17 to get the license. So the starter and the intermediate are 16 to 24-year-olds. They have to write an essay. They have to get letters of recommendations. And they have to fill out our application that asks them a lot of questions. But the essay tells them why they want to do that. For the advanced one, they have to have a private pilot or better certificate. And because that's where they're past the starter point where you have a private pilot's license and they're working on their to be a professional pilot. That requires an essay, filling out the application, letters of recommendation, and a letter of recommendation from their current flight instructor. And then they have to send us copies of the last few pages of their logbook to verify that they have the ratings and the times and what have you.
So it's a process.
It's a process, and then what we've done is we've created a rubric that we put everybody in, we grade them, there are multiple people see every application and fill in the rubric, and then the top ones are the ones that
are selected.
Oh,
the ones that qualify.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, a lot of them qualify, mm-hmm. but we're taking the best ones because more qualify than we have money to do.
Right.
To give.
That's always unfortunate for things like this. Right.
Right.
But you would also need to have more pilots, though, wouldn't you, in order to service more students?
Yes. You know, there's flight instructors. And St. Pete Air is the flight school that we use for our scholarship program. And they're all on board. They're helping us out. And we talk to them. They're a partner in this. Mm-hmm. And we talk to them about how many students we want to get. Is that okay? When we first went to them, they were very enthusiastic. They wanted to know. I said, can you give me a benefit to the Friends of Albert Witted Airport for the recipients? And they said, and I was thinking they maybe knocked $5 off the price of an airplane for an hour. They ultimately, the way it came down is the recipients end up getting 20% off the retail price of renting an airplane. So they're getting 120% of the flying for the dollars that we give them.
Nice.
And so they're just all on board. They've been wonderful to work with.
So I had a chance to see excerpts from your documentary that's coming up in April. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, the documentary is going to be amazing. We just happened to see two more segments the other day. As we looked at and tried to analyze what we were doing as Friends Albert Witted and what the community supplies is supplied by the airport, we found that there are really five pillars or five components. One is discovery, the other is opportunity, safety, mobility, and preservation. And the scholarships take care of the discovery and opportunity. And the safety is by the Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital helicopter that's based there, and then also the other helicopter that services Orlando Health that does the trauma center, the best trauma center on the west coast of Florida. And also on the, that's the safety component. For the mobility component, that's, we get about 100,000 flights a year. Almost half of them are coming here to do business, to support our tourism, to visit friends, to visit family, and to enjoy the area, stay in the hotels, eat in the restaurants, and what have you. And then the preservation, of course, is preservation of the history and preservation of the airport for the future. And this documentary is drilling down on all those components. And it's, we've interviewed over 100 people. We have, it's going to end up being, we believe, about an hour long. We're not really sure yet. But the premiere is April 29th in the Palladium at 7 o'clock at night. And it's amazing. The clips we've seen as we're working through it are just amazing.
Yeah, I agree with the little bits and pieces that I saw of it were very interesting. And I'm looking forward to the premiere on April 29th at the Palladium. What a great place to do that.
Well, we are hoping it holds 800 people. We're hoping to be able to come close to being full there.
I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will. So how can listeners get more information about what you all are doing at the airport?
There's a couple things I can do, but the number one thing is to go to our website, FOAWA.org, FriendsAlbertWitted.org. And from there, they can see everything we're doing, the scholarship program, the aerospace program we're doing, the documentary. We also have a YouTube channel that they can get to from there. We have a place where they can link live and listen to the control tower live if they're at the anywhere. But specifically, we did it for the hangar restaurant where people go out there to eat and watch the airplanes take off. Now they can scan a QR code right from their table and listen live to the tower as they're clearing that airplane to take off. They can do it all.
I didn't know that. I go to the hangar all the time.
Well, look on the table next time. You'll see a QR code and Friends Albert Wittard is connected to it. The hangar restaurant has been very good to us to do it. But on our website, and then we're also on Facebook, and we're on Instagram, X, and a few other things. But Facebook, Instagram, and our website are the best ways. They can enter their email address and just get on a blog list where we send it out about once a month and with all the things that are happening at the airport and what they need to know about. And a lot of people will do that and send that to people who have students who may want to apply for a scholarship. So they get forwarded out to them and they let them know the deadlines for the applications. And all of our applications are online for the young people to fill out for the scholarships and what have you.
So have we missed anything? I feel like we've covered a lot of ground this morning.
We've covered a lot of ground, but there's so much that goes on at the airport. And the Grand Prix is coming up this month, or the end of February. February 28th through March 2nd. And our longest runway is the start-finish line and the main straightaway for the Grand Prix. And so we lost 32 hangars and had 8 others damaged in the last hurricane. And so they just started Monday cleaning up that beautiful metal sculpture. You know, we're a city of arts. Mm-hmm. And so we had this big metal sculpture out there, but it's time for that exhibit to move on to the recycler. Mm-hmm. But they're getting that cleaned up for the Grand Prix. Because remember, when the Grand Prix is going on, there are helicopters that are broadcasting globally downtown St. Petersburg. And they're showing all the waterfront, the pier, our parks, the Dali, the Mahaffey, and it's spectacular. But we don't want them to see that metal sculpture that we had out there.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. We want to put our best foot forward for the rest of the country, right?
That's right. So.
All right. Well, Walt, thank you for joining me today. It's always a pleasure. And Friends of Albert Wittard, Executive Director Walt Driggers has been my guest today. This is Karen Carmichael.
Thank you so much.